Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And Ray Woodson is our regular guest, too.
A lot of ifs, but after a disastrous 2017, the Giants were not going to rebuild. They're at least trying to compete while many teams in the majors are tanking.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. We're also brought to you by Houseboats.com, your home for houseboat rentals on Shasta Lake. It's Monday at AT&T Park in San Francisco, and the Giants are getting set to take on the Cincinnati Reds. And joining us today from the Giants clubhouse, relief pitcher Corey Guerin of the Giants, as well as Bruce Bochy. We'll hear from him in the Giants dugout, and we'll get an update on all the injuries and chat with Dave Greshner, the Giants trainer, as well as Amy Gutierrez. Amy G from NBC Sports Bay Area is our guest from the Giants dugout. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/hardingpark for more information. Let's get to the conversation with Giants relief pitcher Corey Guerin. Corey, it's been such an up-and-down season, really, for the Giants. And on that road trip, there were some downs in Philadelphia. But you think that last win was pretty important just to kind of nail one down before you got home for this homestand?
Hey, Joe. Yeah, thanks for having me on. Yeah, you know, I think we kind of started and finished that road trip the way we wanted to, you know, coming out in Atlanta and really playing as well as I think we've played as a group all season. And then, you know, Holland really picking us up there that last one and going out and putting up zeros was a great way to head home. So, you know, I think ideally you go out and you go undefeated, you know, every time you hit the road. But, you know, realistically, I think, you know, we, you know, went into Atlanta, did what we wanted to do and came home on a win to create some good momentum. So, you know, that's about as much as you can ask for, all things considered.
A lot of fans will look at it and say, oh, you know, you're playing a really good team tonight. How do you guys look at that? I mean, you know, you beat a really good Atlanta team three games in a row, but Philly's good. And, you know, everybody, when it turns out, is really good. It's major leagues. And, you know, Cincinnati just got done sweeping the L.A. Dodgers in L.A. Nobody expected that. How do you guys look at it?
Yeah, you come in it every day expecting that the team across the field is going to be really good. You know, that's the thing about the major leagues is any given day, any team can beat any other team. And so you don't take anyone for granted. You know, we don't come in here ever saying like, oh, today's a guaranteed win. You know, you have to show up, you put the work in, you go out and compete, and at the end of the day, you know, you work to be on the winning side. So that's what we do. You know, clearly this is a team that, you know, came out of L.A. playing well, and, you know, we feel like, you know, this part of the season we're playing some good ball too. So we're looking forward to it. You know, we're confident in our guys going out there and really looking forward to going out and getting some wins here in front of the home crowd.
What were your thoughts about the way Andrew McCutchen was treated by the Pittsburgh fans? Because just watching it on television, it just seemed so emotional for him. I'm wondering what you guys were saying to Andrew. And, you know, just I can only imagine what was going through his mind. Because every at-bat, he's getting a standing ovation.
Yeah, it was really cool to see, honestly. You know, it was first class the way they treated him, both the fans and the organization, with the tribute that they gave him. And he's earned it, you know. He deserves it. He's an outstanding teammate, great player. You know, he means a lot to us here, but clearly he did a lot for that organization and that city. And both the team and the fans appreciate it, and it was great to be able to be there to witness that for him. Obviously a very special time.
Will Smith is back with his team. You know, his locker is right over here, a couple doors away from yours. What does it mean to have him back in that bullpen?
Oh, he's great. You know, clearly he's an outstanding pitcher. You know, he's great on the field, but he means a lot to us in the clubhouse. He means a lot to us in the bullpen. You know, he does a lot for the temperament here, and clearly, like, the results speak for themselves. When he goes out and competes, he's, you know, as good as anybody in the league. So we're excited to have him back, you know, both on and off the field.
How about you? You know, I know there's some ups and downs early on. Do you feel like you're, you know, getting locked in certain things? What's working right now, and what are some things that you want to see go better?
Yeah, I definitely feel like I'm heading in the right direction. Really just kind of been snake bitten by the long ball a little bit, and you know, being in Philly and some of the smaller ballparks, you know, where those homers have gotten out, trying not to read too much into it. You know, early on, it looks worse than it really is. You know, on the backside of 70, 80 innings, you know, you kind of make the judgment. But I feel like I'm throwing the ball well, you know, talking with Buster and those guys about, you know, adjustments we can make and how to, you know, approach hitters. You know, but as far as going out and commanding the baseball, I feel really good. And, you know, I'm excited to go out and help the team win any way that I can. But, yeah, early on, you try not to read too much into stuff, especially homers and certain ballparks and stuff like that. But it's great. Feel healthy, ready to go.
Corey, thanks a lot for the time. Really appreciate it. Good luck.
All right, thank you.
That's Giants reliever Corey Guerin. Well, before the game in the Giants dugout, I had a chance to ask some questions to Giants manager Bruce Bochy, and we were talking about Madison Bumgarner throwing off a mound today, and that went very well. And I asked Bochy about whether or not it was a little easier for Bumgarner to be able to keep his arm in shape, being that it was a broken finger and not any kind of arm or elbow injury.
I have no question that helped. You know, we're not dealing with any kind of arm injury. It's a finger, so that's why he's letting it go the way he is now. And I mean, if you watch the bullpen today, you think, you know, he's making his next start. I mean, that's where he's at. Now, the issue right now, you got to build some stamina and strength because he hasn't been throwing that much.
Bochy also talked about the recent road trip and the fact that the Giants had so many strikeouts, especially in Philadelphia when they were swept by the Phillies. And I asked him if he could put his finger on why the Giants have been striking out so much.
There's no getting around it. We struck out a lot, and I think a couple things. I think you look at the, you know, the stuff we were facing, 95, 96. But at the same time, you know, we really, I thought, backed off a little bit from where we were there in Atlanta. And some things are hard to explain. Why? Well, was it their great location for four games? You know, did they place their breaking balls and change-ups, you know, that well that, you know, we get behind in the count a lot? Because we did. And when you're facing good pitching, you know, if that first pitch is there, we want them to let it go. And so we probably got a little bit on the passive side.
That's Giants manager Bruce Bochy. Coming up, we'll hear from the Giants trainer Dave Greshner right after this. If you're thinking about a fun vacation, how about renting a houseboat on beautiful Shasta Lake? That's right, just go to houseboats.com, where they offer houseboat vacations on Shasta Lake. They also rent cabins as well as wakeboard, day cruising, fishing, pontoon, and party boats. Food and beverage service, fueling, brand name clothing, souvenirs, and a grocery store are all available at their modern marinas. Jones Valley Resort and Silverthorne Resort are the premier boating destinations on Shasta Lake, and houseboats.com will set you up there. Houseboats.com has the best service, the best boats, and the best locations. Call 877-468-7326 or go to houseboats.com today. With all the injuries going on with the San Francisco Giants this year, Dave Greshner, the Giants trainer, has been a very busy man. I had a chance to catch up with him on Monday at AT&T Park. Dave, I know you've been a busy man. There have been a lot of injuries early on in this season, and some guys have come back, which is really good news. And, you know, first and foremost, Madison Bumgarner throwing off the mound today. And, you know, it's really good news to hear that he's feeling good. So what has the progress been with Mad Bum?
He's made great progress the last 10 days or so, throwing just about every day, and got off the mound today. Threw 20 fastballs, looked good, strong, felt good. And he'll get back up on the mound on Wednesday. So looking forward to just keeping his progression going and building his arm strength.
Bruce Bochy just told the media that, you know, it really helped out a lot that it was a finger injury, that he could keep his shoulder and his arm strong. So when you guys were going through the rehab, how different is that than some of the other rehabs that you've had to deal with? Because it's a finger and he can try to do some other things.
Yeah, that was helpful. You know, he did a great job keeping his arm strong and the rest of his body strong, his lower body, his core. We were able to get a lot of good work in while that hand healed up. And, again, that helped us, and I think it'll help him here in the next few weeks.
How do you keep your arm strong when you're not throwing, or do you simulate a throwing motion?
He did a lot of shoulder exercises. We did a lot of different things, cuff weights on his arm, just to, you know, do anything we could to keep the strength in there. So, like I said, Bum's great. He works super hard, and he did a lot. He did it all, and probably more.
I mean, that's what you're looking for as a trainer, right? I mean, the guy who's going to come in and work hard at it to get back. He's so anxious to get back in there, because I would think that's the most important thing, is putting in those hours, because it could be really monotonous. It's not baseball anymore. It's, you know, trying to work physically to get your body back.
Well, everyone sees Bum's competitiveness on the field, and that's pretty much what he does with his rehab. I mean, he works really hard, and he gets after it just like he does in the game. And that helps us. You know, we get a guy that's that motivated. I really feel like that helps you come back bigger, stronger, and quicker. And he's been working his butt off, so that's nice to see.
It was a little easier, too, because with some other injuries, you could worry about pushing it and you'll aggravate it. But with a finger, I'm not sure about that. I mean, I don't know how it affects him even just holding a baseball right now and worrying about anything.
Yeah, it's not a big concern right now. Really, right now, it's just trying to get him back into baseball shape. His hand's healed, looks good. It's getting most of its strength back now. Now we're just trying to recondition his arm back into throwing.
Meanwhile, Johnny Cueto went down, and there was some concern there that he might have to have Tommy John surgery. Can you tell us about, you know, what went into the thinking there to not have Tommy John surgery and how his recovery is planned out?
Well, we got multiple opinions. Multiple tests, and you know, of course, we went and saw Dr. Andrews down in Florida last week, and you know, after he examined Johnny and looked at everything, you know, it was his recommendation that we stick with the rehab, and you know, he had a long talk with myself and Johnny, and we felt good about it, and you know, Johnny's right now working hard to get back and help us out as soon as possible.
How does that work for him? I mean, I would imagine a lot of rest for the arm, keeping the rest of the body in shape?
Yeah, he's doing a lot of work on his conditioning, his lower body. Give his arm some rest here as prescribed by the doctors. And then, you know, he'll get checked in a week or so, and then we'll see where we progress from there.
And are you sensitive to, you know, how a guy comes back from something like that as far as, you know, not trying to rush him back?
Can't rush it. You got to take your time, but we'll listen to the doctors and what they say and go by that.
One more player to talk about, Joe Panik. You know, that thumb injury, it seemed so unusual. He's making a tag, but there was enough force, I guess, from that tag, you know, into his glove there with a very strong guy in Puig, you know, strong-bodied guy, that it created that injury. Were you surprised by it, that it could be that serious?
Yeah, we were surprised that it was that bad. I mean, we knew he had injured it. We had taped it during the game. And then, of course, got the MRI the next day, and you know, it was worse than we thought. It was a freak play. Those things happen during the game. Just shows you how tough Joe is. Pretty sure he got a sack fly RBI to probably help us win that game. So he's a tough guy, but we had to get it fixed, and hopefully he'll be back soon.
He said something about yelling when it happened, so it had to be really tough. How long does he have to wait before he can start some baseball activities?
Hopefully in the next 4 or 5 days, he'll start swinging the bat and then just progress from there. It's his glove hand, so he's playing catch right now. He just probably another week or so will start catching the ball himself. And then we'll try and move as fast as we can to get him in some rehab games and back to us.
Does it make it a little easier that it's the top hand, since he's a left-handed batter? You know, it's the thumb on the top hand rather than being the bottom hand, which I would think gets a lot more pressure.
It's maybe a little bit easier, but still, you know, we got to get his grip strength back so he can control the bat. And, you know, still, these guys are throwing the ball pretty hard. He's got to feel good and comfortable before we can get him out there.
So these are all a variety of injuries. What would you say is the toughest one to deal with, whether it be this year or even in years past, the hardest one for a trainer in general to just deal with?
Man, they're all tough. You know, they all have our challenges. You know, first, I don't want to ever see them, but they happen. And they all have their unique differences, and just try and get them back out as fast as we can.
I would think the concussions are tricky, because that's not really a trainer thing. That, you know, that's just one of those things you got to deal with, right? I mean, Mac Williamson going through it right now.
They're tough. They're tough, and just got to take your time.
All right. Hey, Dave, thanks so much for the time, and good luck with all these guys.
Thank you.
That's Giants trainer Dave Greschner. Also on Monday at AT&T Park, I had a chance to sit down with Amy Gutierrez from NBC Sports Bay Area. Here was that conversation. Well, Amy, you know, there were some changes coming into this season. This team seems like it's a little more energized than last year. What do you think about the whole vibe of the San Francisco Giants this year so far?
Well, I think that it's very different than 2017. In fact, on the last homestand, I interviewed Nick Hundley a couple of times because he was kind of the hero of the game. And I asked him that. I said, what's happening here? There's something emerging. There's a vibe with this team that in come-from-behind situations, they didn't do it last year, you know, and you didn't really feel watching that they were going to do it. If they got behind by 3, 4, 5 runs, you kind of thought that this game's probably over, and you don't feel that way this year. And even this most recent road trip, while they did have quite a slide with 6 games, you know, in a row, losing 6 games in a row, you saw them get better each game, work on what they needed to work on until, you know, Sunday they kind of just blew the Pirates away. So I like the vibe. I think there's a really good chemistry. I think there's a great balance of veteran presence and young players that bring a good energy, and they seem to have fun together.
You know, I think some teams might have been buried early on if they lose their ace pitcher like Madison Bumgarner and Jeff Samardzija was out and the closer, Mark Melancon. But this team, what can you say about hanging in there and being around 500 when you lose players like that?
Well, I think what it shows about this season is the depth that they've added to the team, and that's another thing that was lacking in 2017. And in the offseason, the Giants front office went in and addressed it immediately. And you're seeing it where, you know, Joe Panik goes down, well, here comes Alan Hansen. Alan Hansen goes down, here comes Kelby Tomlinson. You know, Mack Williamson came up and made a big splash, and when he went down, now you've got Gregor or Gorky's. Like, you have moving parts, and I think that really helps you stay afloat. I think the fact that they have been able to just hold the line until some of these guys come back, and you know, you got Madison throwing a pen today, and Melanson's close to facing hitters, that is only going to make them feel stronger, more confident when they get their ace back in the rotation. But I think they've done a fabulous job. I think they're proud of themselves, and while it may not be where they would love to be in the standings, it's certainly better than they were last year, and they're feeding off of that.
I remember a couple of weeks into the season talking to Andrew McCutchen, and he was really struggling, and so was Longoria, and just wondered about these guys because they've been faces of franchises, and you just don't expect a bad start from them. But Andrew seems so calm about it. Like, you know, no problem. I've been through this. I know what to do. Did you get that feeling that even if it was a slow start for some of these veteran guys that they would get out of it?
I really did, just given their track record. I think no matter who you are, how many accolades you have in your career, when you're at this level and you are Evan Longoria or Andrew McCutchen and you've been a face of the franchise, you are going to put that pressure on yourself. Even though you've got Buster Posey in the lineup and you've got Brandon Crawford right next to you, you still have that caliber of play and performance that you expect out of yourself. So I think they were just gripping and being too hard on themselves, which I actually like to see because that shows me that they care. And it's hard to last at this level if you don't care. So when Andrew McCutchen, he hit the walk-off home run after the 14-inning game here, he said to me in our post-game interview, he had been struggling, and that was our first question, which is kind of how much did you need a moment like that? And he said, you know what, I finally showed up. So it was definitely on his mind, and I like that he kind of presents himself cool as a cucumber, but there's this human side to all of them that it is on their mind. They know what's going on. They know their numbers. They know their batting average. They're well aware of those things, and it weighs on them. So it's great to see when they snap out of it and see who they really are as a player and who they can be as a Giant.
I'm glad that you mentioned the McCutchen at bat because there have been some really good at bats this year, just long ones. I mean, Posey had one of those where he drew a walk and it led to a win, but nothing beats the Brandon Belt on the road at bat where it's 21 pitches. It made me think that they should make a t-shirt for Belt that says chicks dig the foul ball instead of the long ball. I mean, it's just he's been like that though, where he just has those prolonged at bats, and people, you know, tend to criticize Belt a little bit because sometimes he'll take a lot of pitches, but he seems to just set an example of grinding out at bats.
Well, he's probably the most disciplined batter on the team. I mean, he knows his strike zone almost to the point where he's stubborn about it. He's not going to go outside of it if he does not think that that was worthy of swinging at. It's paid off in dividends for him regarding on-base percentage. You know, he does draw a lot of walks. He creates opportunities for the team. It helps lengthen that lineup, and pitchers know that, you know, a lot of times the umpire's, you know, weighing in on belt side. He's created that kind of reputation for himself. I think the T-shirt should say chicks and dudes dig foul balls. I'm just saying, let's be, you know, gender equality here. But Brandon Belt, to me, is just really one of the most underrated players. And I have covered him since his rookie year. And I think it's due to the fact that he can be streaky. So people kind of give up on you when you're in the slump phase, and then they get on the bandwagon when you're doing well. But if you look at his overall numbers at the plate and his defense, he's incredible. He's such an asset to this team. And I'm glad that he's here and the Giants have stuck with him, because I think in the years past, fans would have written him off, and I'm glad that the Giants didn't, because I think he brings huge value, and I think he's going to have a fantastic year as long as he avoids the concussion DL. Hopefully I didn't just jinx something, but he's been plagued by it, and I'd love to see him have a full, healthy season and see what he can do.
Yeah, I mean, and a great T-shirt idea, by the way. Madison Bumgarner, he's on his way back, and he was throwing a bullpen today. He's thrown off a mound, and that's big news for the San Francisco Giants if they can get him back. What do you think about his mindset? Because, you know, he's such a hard worker to begin with. When he's coming back from an injury, it seems like he's even, you know, pushing the gas pedal even harder. Hey, I'm going to show everybody that I'm healthy.
Yeah. I kind of think that that's an image that we're creating of him. I actually think there's been leaps and bounds in maturity for Madison since becoming a Giant. I mean, I think he was 20 years old when he came. So, you know, he's actually shown a lot of maturity in going through this process of an injury. He talked about it today that his words, quote, was, "It sucks." And this is two seasons in a row that he's missed a large chunk of the season, albeit last year was, you know, because of a decision that he made. And this year it's not. It's just kind of bad luck. He talked about the balance you have to find in being aggressive but not too aggressive, because you don't want to have any setback at this point. He knows that he's needed, and so I think he's approaching it very well, intelligently, carefully, and taking his time, knowing that when he comes back, he needs to go full force, because they're going to be in a spot to possibly make a move in the division.
Okay, to finish up here, Amy, one of the things that you do really well is that you have all these different stories. It's not just about Giants players and injuries and that kind of stuff. When Dwayne and Mike come to you, you've got, you know, a variety of guests and also interesting stories. So how do you do that? You know, how challenging is it every night to come up with something different?
Well, I have a lot of help, and I do come up with a lot myself, but, you know, I have a whole production crew pitching in and sending ideas. The Giants obviously have some ideas that they send my way. Tonight we're going to talk about the Rugby World Cup Sevens tournament. I'm going to interview a rugby player, and so I'm constantly finding myself in a situation that I don't know a whole lot about that, but he's going to tell me. So, no, it's just fun to mix it up. It's, you know, the venue adds a lot to be able to explore and find different things to talk about. And I pride myself on bringing a more humanistic side of the player to you, because Dwayne and Mike are Dwayne and Mike. Nobody's going to break the game down like they do. And so I just try and be a complimentary piece regarding, you know, what the player is like as a person on and off the field. It's fun to do G-Mag. We get to do some fun stuff. We just shot a G-Mag with Austin Jackson and played basketball. And if anybody rips me on my skills, I'm going to have a problem, since I haven't played in 30 years. So I did the best I could. But it's really fun because it keeps it light, but then I can interject some baseball knowledge at times, which I love to talk about the game and break down the game. I don't get a lot of opportunities to do it, but I talk about it a lot with Dwayne and Mike, and obviously doing these things, so it's fun to explore that side too. But I just like to have diversity in my day, and the team and the fans and the venue provide that. So it's pretty easy to come up with stuff to talk about.
Well, Austin Jackson's a pretty good basketball player, so don't worry about your skills. And by the way, when you do interview somebody with rugby, all you got to do is say, he's in for the try instead of a touchdown, because they call it a try. Okay. So now you sound like an expert, right?
Thank you. I appreciate the advice. Maybe I'll throw that in tonight. We'll see. We'll see if I feel confident about it.
Well, I once did rugby, the Final Four, and I knew nothing about the sport before I went in and did it for CSTV. So, hey, you know, you can do things and you can talk about sports you know nothing about.
You got to learn on the fly. That's what I've learned about life. Learn on the fly. Go with it.
Amy, thanks a lot for the time. Really appreciate it. And continue the great work.
Thank you very much.
That's Amy Gutierrez from NBC Sports Bay Area. I want to thank Amy G, as well as Dave Greshner and Corey Guerin for being our guests here at AT&T Park in San Francisco. Later on this week, we'll have our regular chat with Ray Woodson. And don't forget to catch Ray on the Dubs OT Warriors podcast coming up later this week as well. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.